enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
Today we will be continuing our series on the Sermon on the Mount. And so I will be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest letter, not even the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of our Lord. So I'm not sure how many of you guys have picked up on this yet. But if you ask Tim Brooks from the South Portland Church, he'll attest to this. I'm a pretty plain eater. If you give me traditional Americana food, I'm good. Hamburgers, hot dogs, stuff like that. Awesome. But there's times when I'll go and I'll meet up with Tim and he's like, hey, do you want to try this place that has Greek yogurt chip dip? And I'm like, not really. I'm good with Red Robins. And that's something that he likes to make fun of me for, but I prefer simple food. I also like food that tends to be a little bit more salty. When I was younger and when I was in high school, my diet was completely unhealthy. I used to tell people I had four major food groups: ramen, Tostitos, Dr. Pepper, and popcorn. The fact that I'm still alive today amazes me. But so I've always liked things that were just a little bit salty. And now I've lived here in Cape Elizabeth for just over 2 months. I got here November 25th. And from that day until literally yesterday, I've had a thought continually come to my head. I'll end up like making eggs or making something for dinner, and I'll start to eat it, and I'll sit there and I'll think, this needs a little bit of salt. To which I am reminded that I do not own salt. And this is something that it's, to me, this is funny. It was funny the first time and the second time, but I have a friend, Annie, who I've texted multiple times, or I've sent Snapchats or something, and she'll be like, have you bought salt yet? No. I will go to the store and I will buy everything on my list, yet somehow I forget to put salt down. And so yesterday in the mail, I got a package from my friend Annie. And what she sent me was a book of blessings as I begin my new ministry. But what she also sent me was salt and pepper. And so I finally have salt. And I may have laughed when she sent that to me, just because it's one of those things that it's, salt is so important and it makes things taste so much better, but it's such a small thing. And I've got other spices in my house. I have Old Bay spice. I have some chicken spice that my mom gave me. I just didn't have salt. And so as I opened the package yesterday and saw that, it obviously made me think of today's message in today's gospel reading, which talks about us being the salt of the earth. And I know how valuable salt is to me because I've been wanting it for 2 months. And I keep thinking, this needs salt. Oh, most of us know that salt was even more valuable in years gone by. Salt was used to keep things fresh. When they transported meat, they didn't have freezers, so they stored it in salt, and it kept the meat good. Well, one of the things I learned this week was that salt was even more valuable than that at times. Roman soldiers were given salt rations as part of their payment. In fact, they called it salarium argentum, which literally meant salt silver. Our word salary comes from salarium, literally salt. That was how important salt was, that it was viewed as money, that people needed it so much that instead of being given silver and gold at times, they were given salt, which blows my mind because I'm not even willing to inconvenience myself to go to a store for a second trip to get salt. Yet this is something people were receiving as payment. Not only was it used for seasoning, which is part of it, it's a way that we still do it, but like I said, it kept things fresh, it kept them from rotting, it kept them good so that they could be transported or that they could be used later on. You know, I'm not a butcher, but I imagine when you would slaughter a cow, there's a good bit of meat, and you're not able to eat it all at once, so you want something that keeps it fresh and keeps it going. And so as I was thinking about all that, that was when something clicked to me. Salt in and of itself has no value. Nobody takes salt and, you know, takes it by the spoonful and eats salt. Nobody does that. Salt is only valuable because of the application that it's used for. It has to be paired with something. It has to go with something. It has to be used to keep something fresh, or to take snow off the road, or it always has to be used. Nobody just takes salt and takes a spoonful of it. I'm just imagining that now and singing "A Spoonful of Sugar" makes the medicine go down in my head. And the fact that a spoonful of salt would not do that. And so salt exists so that it helps other things. Jesus then, in the Sermon on the Mount, moves to talking about light. Light is something that we often take advantage of today. We can come into the sanctuary and we can flick on a couple light switches and we have multiple lights everywhere. Even with how long we've had lights through electricity, that's still a fairly modern invention. If we were to go back even 200 years ago, everything was lit by candles and by fire, and that if there was not daylight outside, there wasn't daylight inside. Nowadays, it can be completely pitch dark out, and I can turn on every light in my house, and it doesn't seem like it's dark. And so Jesus talks about, "You're the light of the world." And this light was light that helped people to see. I think of how important it must have been back then, especially in light of, no pun intended, but especially in light of not having lights you could just turn on. Natural light was needed, and so when it got dark, people understood the importance of that light. One of the things that I was thinking about this week was the fact that light cannot be divided. As I was thinking about this, I specifically was thinking of fire and how fire is unable to be divided. And so I brought this little candle piece from back in the office. And as I was thinking about all this, and I was thinking about how Christ calls us to be light, And every week we come in before the service, and Matt or Dan come up, and one of them will light the Christ candle. And we're reminded that the light of Christ is with us always while we gather here while we're gathered in worship. And Christ calls us to be the light of the world. And so that little bit of light from Christ, we're able to be lit. And yet none of the light of Christ is diminished. The light of Christ still glows as brightly as it did before, yet we can now bring the light of Christ over here as well. I think of the fact that as Jesus tells us that we're to go out into the world, that we can bring our light, the light of Christ and the light of his Spirit, and that we can share that and talk about that with others and invite them into that light, yet our light doesn't diminish at all. The light of Christ has not diminished at all. We're still able to burn brightly while sharing that light. And again, it continues on that as we continue to go out into the world to be light, that we're able to spread it. And it continually gets brighter and brighter. If I had more candles and the sanctuary was darker, we'd be able to see that, especially that from just one little light, we can continue to light the whole place. I think back to our Christmas Eve service, where we had the lights, we had all the lights except for one or two up front down, and we had the candles lit, and we had lit the Christ candle. And as we go and we pass the candles around, the sanctuary began to become lighter and lighter as we welcomed in Christ. And so, as God calls us to be light to the world, as we go out and give that away, we don't lose any of it. Which, to me, that can be hard to understand at times, because there's very few things, if any, that I can think of that I don't lose as I give it away. You know, that's part of it, is as I give something away, that means that I no longer have it. But with the light of Christ, when he calls us to be the light of the world, as we go and we continue to pass that light, as we continue to go into dark places and to bring that light and to light it up, we don't lose any of it in and of ourselves. Jesus says that we don't light a lamp or we don't light a candle and then hide it under a basket. We have a basket up here. Now, if I were to take this and put this over the candles, we'd be calling the fire department because it would catch on fire. It would not serve its purpose. And so Christ tells us, you don't take your light and put it under a bush or put it under a basket. It would not serve its purpose and it would destroy things. I've been thinking about that in regards to our own light, the light of Christ in us. If we take that which is within us and we just hide it, it doesn't do its purpose. It might cause more damage. It might cause us to think that because we have the light that we're somehow above, when instead we're just burning, and not burning in a good way. And so he says, take it out into the world. And just like salt doesn't exist in and of itself for itself, light doesn't just exist for itself. I know growing up, if we left a light on in one of the rooms and we left, my parents would come and tell us, they're like, what are you doing? Like, go turn the light off. There's no reason for the light in your bedroom to be on when you're not in your bedroom. There's no point to it. And so light doesn't just exist for itself. Light isn't just light to be light. We have light to illuminate things so that when we're in a room, we can see what's in it. We can see where we're going. And so Jesus moves from salt and he moves to light. And then he seems to make kind of a jump in where he's going, to all of a sudden talking about the law and the prophets and how not a single iota will be removed from the law. And in the NRSV, the version of the Bible that I use while studying, it says that we are to be more righteous than even the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees get a bad rap. You'll often hear preachers come up and talk about how bad the Pharisees were, and they're right. I mean, the Pharisees are people that we do not strive to be. But in reality, the Pharisees were just trying to follow the law as best they knew how. They just often forgot a key component of the law. They were so set on following the law, they forgot the meaning of the law, which was to love God and love neighbors. So they had all the appearance of righteousness. According to the law, they did X, Y, and Z. But X, Y, and Z didn't mean anything because they weren't loving God and loving neighbor with it. And so Jesus says, your righteousness must surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees. Our righteousness, that is, us being salt and us being light, can't be done for us just to be salt and just to be light. We must be salt that goes out in seasons and flavors and restores things. We must be light that is shining in a dark place. I wouldn't take a candle into a brightly lit room. We take candles and we take light into places that are dark. I don't turn the lights on in my house during the daytime because I have windows that let sunlight in. There's no need. But when it's dark out, that's when I turn the lights on. Light is meant to go to where the darkness is. And so the Pharisees and the scribes, I'm going to throw out three big words right here, but I'll explain each of them. The Pharisees and the scribes show us that there's a question that's being asked of whether or not our orthopraxy, that is, the right practices, were good enough for orthodoxy, which is right beliefs. And that's often a question we have is, well, is it my practice or is it my beliefs? And I was having a conversation with a friend this week on Twitter where we had mentioned these two things, and he reminded me of a key word and something that John Wesley advocated for, was that along with having orthopraxy, right practices, and having orthodoxy, right beliefs, was that we were called to have orthocardia, which is right heart. That as we see the law and we see what it is that's required of us, and that we see the way that we're supposed to do it, that not only do we see those, but we do it in the right heart. It's one thing for us to be salt and go places because we have to, because that's what God calls us to. It's one thing to be light that goes into the darkness, groaning and complaining about how dark it is. But it's different to go in with the right heart that God calls me to keep people fresh, that God calls me to enliven them, to give them life again, that God calls me to the dark places and to not fear the dark and think that the dark is something that shall be scary, but instead to remember that I can bring the light here and the darkness cannot overcome the light. And so I think it's an interesting move that Jesus jumps from salt, which was valuable, and light, which was valuable, to righteousness, saying, we've got to be valuable to the world. I think of our own little community here in Cape Elizabeth and think of how we're being salt to our neighbors, how we're taking care of them, how we're being light in our community, and how we are being a beacon of hope and holiness. The Portland headlight is the most photographed and painted lighthouse in the world. And it's an absolutely beautiful lighthouse. And I think of how much of a beacon of hope that had to have been to others. As they were coming up to, Fort Williams, as they were coming up, or as they were coming up to the coast, and finally seeing that light saying, "You're almost here." As we begin to move forward throughout this next season of our life at Cape Elizabeth, I wonder what we might do to show hope and holiness to the world around us. How we might invest in our community. How we might be salt, keeping this area fresh, keeping this area stable, keeping this area vibrant with life. My friend earlier this week, she's the worship leader at the church I attended in Kansas City, messaged me and she sent me a link to a song that I had never heard, but I really liked it. And then I come in this morning and Diane is playing the tune on the piano. And although we won't sing the song today, I will read you the lyrics, and I think they're really important for us today. The song is called "As a Fire Is Meant for Burning." As a fire is meant for burning, with a bright and warming flame, so the church is meant for mission, giving glory to God's name. Not to preach our own tribe's customs, but to build a bridge of care. We join hands across the nations, finding neighbors everywhere. We are learners, we are teachers, we are pilgrims on the way. We are seekers, we are givers, we are vessels made of clay. By our gentle, loving actions, we would show that Christ is light. In a humble, listening spirit, we would live to God's delight. As a green bud in springtime is the sign of life renewed, so may we be signs of oneness mid earth's people, many-hued. As a rainbow lights the heavens, when a storm is past and gone, may our lives reflect the radiance of God's new and glorious dawn. Would you pray with me? God, you call us to be salt, and you call us to be light. You call us to help things continue on. I think of your words of how you say, when a salt loses its saltiness, it is no good. It is to be thrown out and trampled. But Lord, we know scientifically that salt is unable to lose its saltiness. It can be diluted and it can be overcome, but it can't lose its saltiness, that if we were to undilute it, it would retain the salt. Lord, I pray that you be with us, that if we have been diluted, that you would help filter us out so that our saltiness remains. That we can go out and that we can be valuable to the world around us. That we can protect those things that need protecting. That we can keep fresh those things that need keeping fresh. That we can bring flavor back into something that has been dull. God, we thank you for the fact that your Son, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. And we thank you that your Spirit gives us each a little bit of that light. That we need not fear the darkness. That the darkness is never too dark when we're around because we have your light. God, we thank you for the fact that your light does not diminish. That as your light is spread around, it only grows. The light in us is not divided and made into smaller parts, but rather, when we as Christians gather together, our light burns brighter. God, help us to not hide the light of Christ under silly things. We wouldn't put a basket over the Christ candle because it would burn and cause damage. Instead, we let the Christ candle shine brightly. God, may it be the same in our life. May we not hide the Christ that is within us. May we not hide your spirit. May we let it burn bright so that others might catch a flame. God, we thank you that you call us to righteousness. That our righteousness and our holiness is not merely to be words alone. It's not merely to say that we follow the law to the T, but rather as we follow the law and as we follow your commands, that we follow them in the heart that you would have them be followed. A heart that seeks to love you and a heart that seeks to love our neighbors. God, I'm reminded that the greatest commandment is twofold. The first is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, strength, soul, and mind. And the second is similar, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. God, help us to be salt. Help us to be light. Help us to be a righteous people. God, I think of the passage that Dan read. And what type of fast is it that you seek? That we loose the chains of injustice and that we break the yokes that bind. May our light be a light that breaks into the darkness, no matter where that darkness is. Whether that's a friend who is going through a hard time, or whether it's something bigger. God, let our light and our salt break in. God, help us to bring light into all the darkness of life, spreading hope for a better world. A world where justice is made real by your children living together in harmony. Help us to bring salt into the blandness of life, encouraging vitality and joy in living in a world that dares to hope for the future that you have promised to us, where all your children will know themselves as loved and valued and treasured, created in your image, bringing you glory forever. Amen.
To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God richly bless you as you serve him today.